Yeah. Welcome back to the Mind Bullying Podcast with your hostess, with the mostest. I don't know what that is, but Norm Sodi, I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being back again for another episode with me. Man, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful for how we're going. This month two with you. Yeah, let's do what it do. Yeah, that's not it. But nah, I'm so thankful for this journey that we've been on. For me to be able to pour out my heart and literally everything that I do. Like, I don't hold back on this. And for me to be able to pour out with you guys and to connect with you in that way and to hear your replies and how it resonates with your stories as well is so special to me. So thank you so much. Do me a favor, though. ASAP Rocky right now. And screenshot where you're listening to this episode. Screenshot it and tag it. Tag it at MindBullyPod. Screenshot if you're on the road, if you're driving to work, if you're in the shower. Don't screenshot the shower, but tell me that you're in the shower with a selfie, that you're in the shower. Just screenshot and tag me where you're listening from. Some of y'all in Lubbock, I know my Red Raiders pulling up. Some of y'all in Dallas. Some of y'all in Cali. Some of y'all in Detroit. Some of y'all are in Australia. Some of y'all in Germany. I love Germany. I know my first episode didn't go well with Germany, but I love Germany. So, Alta. That's my favorite German word. Alta. I'll be like, Alta. That's the coolest word, but it's probably not the best German for me being there a whole year. But if this is your first time listening, thank you for being here. Thank you for being with me and the squad. Please do me a favor. Go listen to the other episodes. I feel like you'll find value out of them. We talk about a lot of personal, revealing, and vulnerable things on this Mind Bully podcast, and I know that you'll find value in that. Also, do me one favor, please. If you love this content, gang, squad, rate, review. It'll mean so much to me. It boosts on the algorithm, and other people can see the joy, the passion, the love, and the service that we're bringing to them each and every Monday. So if you do that, I really appreciate it. Episode 8, where I'm at. I'm checking in. Check in. How am I feeling? How am I doing? Well, since you asked, Norris, check in. The boy back in Dallas grinding. I told y'all in episode 4, what happens if it doesn't go my way? If shit goes south, I'm going to take my black ass back to Dallas and grind and keep going. I went up to Detroit. I was there for like 2-3 weeks for training camp with this team I was playing for. And I got waived. I made the team, played the game. But I got waived because the first day of training camp, literally the first day, I sprained my ankle and I was out like the whole camp and literally had like one practice and then had a game. And then, hey, buddy, we haven't really seen you play. We got some more people in. Cool. And it's funny how things play out because, I don't know, I kind of felt a certain type of way leading in and going there, as you guys know, and God just made a way to clear things out. It's just perspective. It's like, yeah, I can call it rejection, which, I mean, I don't even think it is, but if it was, whatever, call it rejection. But for me, it's more so like redirecting my focus on things that I was really passionate about doing and the different business ventures I have going on. Obviously, I'm still playing basketball. I'm still grinding, still in that transition period. But it really made kind of things easier for me in the moment. They're like, oh, okay, great. I can lock in on some things that I really want to do. And because I don't want to be pigeonholed to one thing, and I feel like, I don't know. But I'm not going to lie, it was kind of weird, though. Like, I got a call after the game. The game went well, whatever. And I got a text, actually, call this number. And it was some guy that I never talked to in the organization. He was just telling me the situation when I called him. Like, we're letting you go. Cool, which is cool. But my thing is, I didn't talk to the coach, didn't talk to the GM, didn't talk to no management. I just left. And it's like, okay. Now, maybe they don't owe me that. Nobody in this life owes you shit. That's cool. Like, I literally agree with that. That's cool. But it's just like, it doesn't sit right with me when literally the team, like, standards was respect and professionalism. And it's just funny for me. respect would be looking me in my eyes, having uncompromising standards, even in the toughest time, and like, hey, bro, we got somebody in. I'm going to let you go. Like, still, like, thank you for your services. All right, dip. And that would have been cool. But for me, it's just, I don't know. I'm not even bashing anybody because, again, in business, they don't owe you nothing. It's a business. But for me personally, it's my pod. Hello, Mind Bully Pod. I'm going to tell you how I think and how I view. It's just I respect people and respect organizations that are straight shooters. Just tell me how it is, and I'm going to go. I'm a grown man. I can handle it. So I'm back in Dallas, Texas, grinding, staying patient, staying focused on the things I want to do. One, not to be pigeonholed, and two, just to, you know, experience life in a different way. I feel like whenever I can be uncomfortable in the things, not knowing my next day is like I'm actually excited about that because whenever you can be uncomfortable and vulnerable, that allows for growth. That allows for creativity. That allows you to build on new ideas or new stories. It's a new story, a new chapter for you to build and grow into. So my new chapter is, let me see, November 11th and Thursday, Veterans Day. Shout out all my veterans. That's when I'm starting my new chapter, man. I'm starting it with my Mind Bully people. So we got to come up with a name. Mind Bully people, somebody please at Mind Bully Podcast, come up with a name. Let's lock in, let's tap in. But now that's me checking in. If I put a number on it, I'm literally about an 8. I'm in a good spot, even though the circumstances to the outside might not look like it. But God, I don't know, this mindset that I've had this whole summer, this new me is like, I don't know, since Germany, that situation. Before Germany, pre-Germany, I probably wouldn't have been broken and because I put my identity and who I was as a basketball player post. It's like I have new eyes in the same environment, in the same situation. I have new eyes for real. I'm just rejuvenated by who I know God to be in my life. And I see the evidence as everything he's done every step of the way. It's resonating with me in a big way. So I'm so grateful just to be breathing and speaking with y'all, probably babbling. But that's my check-in. How are y'all checking in? I still haven't had enough people DM me. Check in. I want to see a bunch of numbers. Hopefully high numbers, like 10, 10, 10. But if it's a 2 or 3, let's talk about it. Let's talk about why it's a 2 or 3. Or let's talk about what's going on in your life that's a 10, 10. Literally, I will reply and lock in with you guys. Please DM me at Mind Bully Podcast. I'm acting like I asked you to DM me before, but for now on, please DM me numbers. As soon as you listen to this, DM me a number. DM me a number right now. How you feeling? Check in. Tap in with the boy. Now, and I very much appreciate you guys tapping in and being a part of the contest. We had a winner of the giveaway was Miss Alexandra Magic. Hopefully you enjoy those new AirPods and you listen in to the Mind Bully Podcast right now. But thank you guys so much for that. That interactive back and forth between me and you guys is something that I love. I also got some very, very great responses and very great content and topic to talk about. So thank you so much. I personally love that the most whenever you guys reach out to me with stuff that I should cover or we should talk about on this podcast. That is what I'm looking forward to the most. So thank you once again. But today, actually, from that contest, we had a great topic that I think that I'd like to talk about. Coming from a Miss Tyler Liggins, shout out Tyler Liggins, at Tyler Liggins on Instagram. She says, talk about how being competitive can hurt and help your drive in life. So episode 6, you guessed it. We're going to talk about how being competitive can help and hurt your drive in life. You know, this is a good topic or an easy topic for me to talk about, to be honest, because I feel like this is me. So I'm basically telling my story. I'm so competitive in everything that I do. Is how that's helped me in my journey and in my climb up the ladder, if you will. But I also realize how it's hurt. And I also realize the times that I wish I could take back because it's like you lose sight of the end goal and you lose sight of the why and you lose sight of your purpose because you're so competitive.
And there's so many factors that goes into that. Like, being competitive is great, in my opinion, but if you're motivated by the wrong things, that's when being competitive is destructive. Like, sometimes we get so wrapped up in things that don't matter. It's like we're fueled by jealousy, by ego, by envy. We're even fueled by fear, by status, by obsession. That, oh, I want to win. I got to win. I got to have it. But why do you got to have it? It's like you're compromising your values to get the dub. You're compromising your character to get to the next step. You're compromising who you are and what you knew yourself to be. Masking it as I'm competing to get to somewhere greater. It's like you lose sight of your why. So let me tell you guys a quick story about how I lost sight of my why. Actually, first, let me break down my why and break and dismantle and unpack my actual why. My why. I want to be an NBA player. I want to be a basketball player. Why? Why do I want to be a basketball player? Okay, I would say because I love the sport. But why? For me, at an early age, I used to just be in the living room as a kid, as a young buck. I watched my dad and my family watch basketball. I used to watch Hakeem Olajuwon with the Rockets. And I see the passion. I see the love. And I see the joy behind their eyes that the game and the connection and the experience was giving them. So that's what I wanted to recreate for my family, and not only them, but for people. I wanted to create that joy. Okay, cute, Norris, that's cute. But why? Why do I want to create that joy? Because I feel like that's life. When you're able to serve others in ways that resonates with them and they're impacted in even a small way, I feel like you can scale and compound on that. So, but why, Norris? Again, but why can you compound, or why do you want to compound on that? And why does it need to be NBA for you to serve in that way, Norris? Why? Because I feel like I want to showcase God's glory on the largest and the biggest stage in front of the most eyes that I can. I want to serve in that way. If they see the Lord in me exuding or spreading to others on the way that how I play, how I walk, how I talk, how I am as a person on that stage, it can reach so many other people. That's my final why. That's why. So if that's why when we're competing and we're grinding, we're going after something, does our perspective get so linear that we can't even pan out and see the initial purpose driving those dreams, that's driving those goals, that's driving those desires? We lose sight of that. We lose sight of that final why. Here's my story about how I lost sight of my final why. First year pro, first year out of college, started my hooping career, and I took my black ass to Phoenix, Arizona. It's hot, heavy, all that, but that's for a different story. But I was going there, I was coming in, I was with the Suns for training camp and got waved. Boy, just getting waved today. Hold on. They just wave. I might as well just wave right back at them. They say, yeah, you getting waved. I might as well just wave right back. They're like, nah. That boy is just getting waved left and right. Might as well play for the Wave of Wire Warriors. Look, like, Nah, but anyways, whatever. I got waved, and the way it works is you get waved, and the G League affiliate has your rights. And so I was on the Suns G League team. And luckily, first year pro, that boy came from Texas Tech, and he had a fellow Red Raider coming to the Suns G League team to play with him. So I was like, yeah, Tariq Owens. Tariq Owens was coming and playing with the same team as me. So I was lit. Former teammate. Now the roommate. We living together in hot, sweaty AZ. Oh, yeah. Let's make memories. Let's make it happen. Like, I was excited. That my boy. That my dog. I love that man. I still love that man. Even though he didn't text me happy birthday and I got on his ass about it. Come on, bro. And I haven't talked to him in a minute. That's my boy. That's my guy. We locked in. But, no, I love that man. And so we're playing and we're competing on the same team. But the thing here is the contract that we both have is similar to each other, meaning we're both going after the same pro contract with the actual Suns. Like, we're both competing for what's called a two-way contract. Now, a two-way contract in the NBA, every team has two two-way contracts that they can give to players. Our team already had one with Jared Harper. Shout out Lil J. Shout out Vino. Shout out Squidward. What's that in them, boy? But we had one with Squidward, and we had one open spot. So it's feast or famine. Who going to get that spot? Who going to grind for that position? Who is going to seize that opportunity? Now, this is my roommate. This is my boy. This is my brother. We just went through a hell of a year, a hell of a time at Texas Tech. But now we're in this position where we're supposed to compete with each other while being on the same team, while being brothers, while living together for the same contract. Now, things didn't get weird at all. Like, that's my boy. We laughed, had a great time in the house. We were roommates until it was time, until it was decision time. Like, we went throughout the season. It comes January, and, okay, we hear the Suns are about to give out a two-way contract. Now, I wasn't even playing that much at the time for reasons that will go unsaid, but they said they was resting me. Shout out Lil Dre. But I wasn't playing as much as I would like, and he was playing well. And Mr. Tariq Owens gets the two-way contract. Now, think about this, right? Your first pro contract, your NBA stamp, this contract is life-changing. It's the contract that says, hey, I made it. Like, I'll never forget the moment. We were in Utah at a hotel, and we were having a team meeting. It was early as hell, and it was a weird, oddly called team meeting. Tariq walks in last, like we just woke up, and my coach just starts talking. We're like, bro, what are you talking about? It's early. We're in Utah. It's cold, elevation. I'm tired. And he goes, Tariq Owens, congratulations. You're on a two-way contract. And everybody starts going crazy, like, let's go, boy. Rightfully so. Even me, I was lit. Like, I said even me. I'll tell you that in a second. But I was lit. Like, I was so excited. I'm like, wow, like, they actually gave another contract out. Like, he deserves it. He's been playing well. But then it's like it just starts settling in. Like, hold up. If I'm doing the numbers right, 1 + 1 = 2. 2 is all they got. Where does that leave me? It's like I felt like I was waived all again. But it's weird. It's a weird feeling. Like, I was so elated, enjoyed, and happy for my teammate, my brother. But then there's this nasty, dark side of me that was jealous. And that was pissed that that wasn't me. And it's kind of a weird feeling because it's like, that's literally not me. I'm so excited for him, but I can't help this feeling that says, hell no, that should have been me. Hell no, that's so competitive that is forgetting my initial why. Why do I play the game and why do I want to get to that level in the first place? It's never to glorify me. It's to glorify God through me, to serve others. So when I see my brother get something that changes his life, why am I not excited? Why am I not 100% overjoyed about what just happened? It's like I'm motivated by that ego that's in me. I'm motivated by that obsession to get to this place or to get to that next level or to get to where I want to be. That I'm willing to compromise my values as being a great person, a great teammate, a great brother to try to get there. And it's not like my actions, I actually did anything to compromise those values, but it was in my heart. I felt it. And it was this nasty feeling. It's like the mind believes telling me like, nah, hell nah, you should be there. You should do that. You the dog. He don't deserve that. You do. But then me, my real me, and the God in me is like, no, I love him. He deserves it. Like, why are you on my back? Like, why do I think like that in those moments? And if I didn't apologize to him, I know that I did. I'll apologize again. Tariq, I'm sorry. That was wrong. I don't think it's ever right for us to get so competitive that we lose sight of our why, that we lose sight of the initial thing or the initial reason as to why we were doing what we're doing in the first place. It's like, what is fueling our competitive nature? You know those people that just, they will clap for you, they'll be your friend, but they'll secretly want you to fail? Okay, like I had this friend, and she got offered a position in an entirely different industry than the one that she's currently in. like better job, better pay, better benefits, and something that she's really passionate about. And so she's finding more and more about the job. And she realized, like, oh, I know this person. Like, we went to grade school together. Like, I know somebody at this position, at this job. So she hits them up, like, asks about the job. What's the work-life balance? How's the managers? How's the team? Are you comfortable? How are things? Like, are you mentally stable? She's asking about the entirety of the situation. She gets no reply. She gets the runaround. She gets odd responses that don't add up to what she's seen on reviews or heard from other people's. She gets lies, basically. She gets lies about the position. Just think about that, though. Like, it's like we have so much of an ego that it's like, you do your thing over there, I do mine over here. We admire each other from afar. But if you come in my space and try to do my job a little better or on the same level as me, no, we have a problem. We have a fight. We have an altercation. We're competing. When we should be collaborating, we're in the same job. We're in the same industry. We're friends. Why aren't we collaborating? Why aren't we creating together instead of causing chaos amongst each other? When you think about it, when you're competing constantly in that way, I think you're driven by fear. The fear that you got to fight for everything you want in this life. Fight for your piece of the pie. That when somebody comes to your job or your brother gets a promotion, you like, oh, there goes my shot. Pack it in, mail it in. There goes my piece of the pie. There's not going to be other teams. There's not going to be 31 other teams that give you a shot. That you think that's your last chance to get into where you want to be. You think there's not enough for everybody to get some. It's annoying. Like, it really is. And being such a competitive person at the core, it's something I deal with internally. It's something that I really have to check. It's something that I really have to monitor because I know my ego and I know how prideful I can get. I know that when it's all said and done, sometimes it's my way or the highway. And there's some part of me that thinks that's good, that you should have a level of conviction as a leader, as a person that wants to go somewhere, that you don't care about what people think. Like, let me make myself clear. Compete each day within yourself internally, but for yourself, for your why. To be honest, I'm not a guy on this whole cancel culture. Oh, let's take it easy. Let's chill. No compete. Love each other. No, like, bust your ass. Work hard. Grind. Do it for you, though. Don't do it for any external factor that's not your why. But at the same time, collaborate. Collaborate with others. Collaborate with other high energy, high character people. People that are willing to push you and themselves to maintain high standards. That's how you compete together, through that collaboration. Both becoming the best versions of themselves and not anyone else. This type of collaboration, it starts with character, high character individuals, people that won't take shortcuts, people that treat people right, people that are disciplined, people that do the right things each and every single day. It starts with character. And that character builds consistency. And that consistency builds culture. And that culture breeds collaboration. Collaboration that says everybody's that's on board going after this one common goal. And that builds champions. And if you're an individual, having somebody push you in that way, that makes you a champion. That building that character, that consistency, that culture within yourself, that collaborative feel, having somebody push you, that makes you a champion. I'm an athlete, obviously, so I'll use a team reference again. Once your culture is so strong within a team, it changes from, oh, damn, we got to do this, to we get to do this. We get to work out. We get to play. We get to practice. We get to grind. Because that's us. That's who we are. We're not cooperating with any rules. We are the rules. We made the rules. Collaborative feel. We have established a baseline of what is acceptable and what won't be tolerated. And we internalize it. It's us. once you empower every individual like that, like, how can you lose? You're a champion. How do you lose when everybody's held and is holding themselves to that type of standard? So, like, I don't even know if I'm answering your question again, Tyler. Sorry. But I just get passionate about culture because once you collaborated and created a culture that's strong in your job, in your team, at your workplace, it's like when new people come in and they're not strong enough, they don't fit in, like, you instantly feel it. It's like, fall in line or this train moves on without you. If the culture is set and is strong enough, new people become like the culture. But if it's a weak culture, if everything's run down, if everything's not in place, the culture becomes like the new people. And you can't compete against anybody with that. I'm probably still not answering the question, but I put my little Norris flair on that. But hopefully that makes sense. Like, I rank collaboration over competing. Like, for me, competing is good in a singular moment or a single game or something that you need everybody to go after this one goal initially, like short-term competing. Yes. But this life is a life of collaboration. How do you create? When you're competing and you're singular focused and you're ego driven, you can't even create anything new. You're not willing to be vulnerable or curious to let other people in, let other ideas into your mind. How do you build on who you are now? Creating, collaborating, flowing, learning new things about others that helps you become the better and best version of yourself, all through collaboration. Like, even the silly things or the minor things are better with collaboration. Like, when I think, who can get the most girls? And even me saying who can get the most, it's from a competitive lens. Who can get the most girls? I mean, what about getting these girls, like, when we're younger? Is it better to pull up singly to one girl? Or, shit, I got the squad. I got my boys with me, 2-on-2, 3-on-3. Like, let's get it. That's a better vibe, like, collaboration. But in sports, it's like, who can get the most points? Me, me, me. Who can score the most? Who can get the most touchdowns? Me, me, me. Look at me. Oh, me. How about who can do the little things to help our team win? Who can get the most charges? Nah, people ain't going to like that one. I ain't going to lie. But who can get the most cut blocks? Something like that. But something that helps a collaboration, a team feel, something that propels the team forward. Because at least for me, that's helping me reach my why. I don't give a damn about scoring the most points because that's not my initial why anyway. I'm trying to serve. I'm trying to love, spread my love, spread God's love to everybody else. Staying connected with your why through collaboration is way better than competing. So hopefully that answers your question, Lil Tyler, how being competitive can hurt and help your drive in your everyday life. I probably babbled and rambled, but hopefully I touched a little part of that question. But no, ask me another question, you guys. I'll be answering questions, taking topics, anything that you want me and us to talk about on this Mind Bully podcast. I think this episode was good to kind of have an easy going, keep it light episode because last week's episode was a lot. It was really intense and really emotional for me. And I appreciate all the love and support and all the messages I got from that episode. If you haven't listened to episode 7, go listen to it. I talked about the toughest, the hardest, the most challenging thing that I still to this day deal with. But through God and through Christ, I'm getting better each day. So thank you guys so much for listening to that. Ooh, I just thought about this segment. Let me know if you guys like it. I just said checking in earlier. Maybe I should do a checking out because I'm checking out right now. But this weekend's about to be lit. I'm going to the second ever Coach Adams, Coach Mark Adams, coach basketball game at Texas Tech. And I'm going to the football game. We got a new football coach. Obviously, he's not coaching. But, man, it's going to be a lit weekend. It's checking out segment. I like that, though. Checking in, checking out segment. Let me know what y'all think about that at Mind Bully Podcast. But on this first annual On the Fly checking out segment that I just thought of just now, I want to talk about our new football coach, Joey McGuire. Now, his press conference was lit. His little stupid ass had me laugh. I was like, let's go, Red Raiders. Boy, I was geek, boy. And don't kill me. I say little stupid ass. That's a term of endearment. Like, I rock with Buddy. Like, I rock with him. I saw that he coached at Crowley High School. That was like my backyard. I went to North Crowley. And he coached at Cedar Hill. Hell, I live in Cedar Hill. You think he ain't me? He me in a white body. What's up, Joey? I'm with you, Joey. And he passionate. And he at the double T. That is me. I swear. Joey McGuire and Norris Odiase, we twins. I just look a little better. He a little older. But now I'm excited. I'm excited for the new tenure. We about to be back. I know our basketball team back. Mark Adams going to have them boys 2-0 when I'm in them stands losing my voice. But now this checking out. I kind of rock with this checking out. Let me know what y'all think again, though. But once again, thank you so much for listening to the Mind Bully Podcast, which yours truly. Make sure you rate it and review. Those reviews mean so much to me. I'm so thankful for those reviews. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't thank you guys enough. Keep tuning in. Stay blessed. And from me to you, episode 8.